Front Page Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed. 15,000 an hour until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color. Great fiction, interesting features, factual articles, and color illustrations. All these are to be found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit. Another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. A few weeks ago, the obituary columns of the world's newspapers briefly announced the death of Queen Natalie of Serbia in the convent of Notre Dame de Sion, Paris. Behind this brief notice lies the turbulent history of one of Europe's most colorful queens. It is her story that forms the basis of this week's front page drama, The Queen is Dead. This dramatic story is taken from the feature article entitled, The Passing of Natalie, Most Tragic Queen, written by Morrow Cody, former associate editor of the Literary Digest, and well-known European journalist. It will be found in next Sunday's American Weekly. Our story opens in the spring of the year 1875 at the very expensive suite of a Paris hotel, occupied by Colonel Ketchko, an extremely wealthy but untitled Russian officer, his wife, Anna, and their daughter, Natalie.
Alex, Natalie, we have been blessed with the greatest of good fortune.
Oh.
Who do you think has asked permission to call upon us this morning?
With your social ambitions, my dear, it might be any one of a dozen crowned heads of Europe. Say his Imperial Majesty, the Tsar of all the Russians.
You may joke if you like, Alex, but it is one of the crowned heads of Europe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Mother, which one?
His Majesty, King Milan of Serbia.
Constantine's cousin? But, Mother, Constantine is calling to take me out for a drive in the Bois.
And although he isn't much of a catch, I would much rather entertain him than that young wastrel King of Milan. Why, his reputation is notorious.
Be still, Alex, and you too, Natalie. This is a wonderful opportunity for us. I agree with you, Alex. Young Constantine is far from an ideal match for Natalie. But what you say about His Majesty, King Milan, is not true. He may have been a little wild, but then every young man...
has to sow his wild oats before settling down. Yes, we know. The responsibility of marriage always has a steadying influence and brings a young man to the full realization of his responsibility. Yes, I know that old bromide by heart.
But, Mother dear, although we're not formally engaged, Constantine considers...
I'm not in the least concerned with what Constantine considers.
Natalie, my dear, your mother senses the possibilities of a royal connection. And no matter how remote or minute the chance, is determined to play it out to the bitter end.
But, Father, dear...
In the interest of family peace and unity, my digestion and your mother's heart condition, let her have her way. Rest assured, nothing will come of it.
Alex, dear, will you please try to take this seriously? We've spent a great deal of time, money, and effort in giving Natalie a finished education. She has charm and beauty and, well, if he must be mercenary, a handsome dowry. Do you want all this to be wasted upon some mere nobody? Come in.
His Majesty, King Milan of Serbia. His Highness, Count Constantine Constantinople.
I hope, my dear Madam Ketchko, you will forgive me for taking the liberty of calling with my royal cousin. Your Majesty, may I present Madam Ketchko?
I am honored by your presence, Your Majesty.
Thank you, Madam Ketchko, but please let us dispense with court ceremony.
Your Majesty, this is Natalie, daughter of Madam Ketchko, and, well, almost my betrothed.
This is indeed an honor, Your Majesty.
On the contrary, Mademoiselle Natalie. It's an honor for me to be presented to one of such rare beauty and charm. You are a lucky fellow, Constantine.
Well, thank you, royal cousin. And now, last but by no means least, Colonel Ketchko, commanding officer of His Imperial Majesty, the Tsar's Foot Guards.
I am honored, Your Majesty. The honor and pleasure is mine, I assure you, Colonel Ketchko. Now, please, do not let us stand on ceremony. Let us stop the sick formality and be ourselves.
You are most gracious indeed, Your Majesty. Shall we be seated? Oh, no. Here, Your Majesty. Take your place on this sofa.
It would be a pleasure, madam, but my more fortunate cousin really has the right to this seat.
Not at all, Your Majesty. The attachment between Constantine and my daughter is really not that serious.
Oh?
Oh, they love to tease me about it. But I assure you, there's been no formal announcement. My Constantine hasn't even spoken to my husband or myself as yet.
Oh, I see. Well, I shall be delighted to sit here beside her. Allow me, Mademoiselle Natalie. Here we are, Natalie, my dear, taking the last long ride. Oh, come now, cheer up. You're going to be a queen. Smile, wave at the crowd. They love you already, Natalie. It's spontaneous. They really want you to be their queen.
I think you are right, Father. They're so very warm and friendly. But I must confess I'm rather overawed by it all. It's all been so sudden, Father.
No one realized that any more than I do, my child. But there was no stopping your mother once she found out Milan wanted you. And his regent, Prince Michael, or the Queen Mother, had no objection to his marriage to a commoner.
But I'm genuinely fond of Milan, Father. He's so boyish and alive and spirited.
Well, as long as you and your mother are happy, I suppose I must be too. Although I must say I don't feel very kindly to those nations who slighted you by refusing to send their royal representatives to the wedding just because you're not of royal blood.
Oh, it doesn't bother me in the least, Father. Poor Mama is the one who was really upset.
Yes, poor soul. But at least she has some compensation. She is, by custom, allowed to ride in the royal carriage with the king and his queen mother before the wedding.
Isn't it strange, Father? Here we are smiling, nodding, and waving to all these people. Yet they haven't the faintest notion of what we're talking about. I suppose they wonder, don't you?
Yes, but I'm glad they don't know. There we are at the cathedral, my dear. I hope you're not too nervous.
I am nervous, Father, but not too nervous to walk.
Yeah. Give me your arm, dear.
There she is, the ambitious Muscovite, the intruder, the usurper. But you will never marry him.
Get out. Natalie, my dear, are you all right?
Physically all right, Father. Give me your arm. Proceed with the procession. Everything is quite all right. The royal wedding must go on.
So, here you are. Sulking in your suite, refusing to see anyone.
I'm not sulking and I'm not refusing to see anyone. You know my condition, and you know that the court physicians have ordered me to take a complete risk.
I am not here to discuss your condition, but my own. I demand this subterfuge and trickery over money matters cease at once.
There is no subterfuge or trickery over my dowry, if that's what you're referring to.
Call it any name you please. I still call it trickery. It is agreed that your dowry of 5 million rubles was to have been deposited to my credit in the state bank. By an accident, as your treacherous father so cleverly expressed it, the money was placed in your name in the branch of a French bank.
Where you could not get it through squandering your overindulgence on wine and immoral women, as well as on your wild gambling orgies.
What?
My father was wise, and I'll never go back on his wisdom. The money stays where it is, and that's final.
7 months I've tried to make you see sense. But no, you remain stubborn and obdurate. You continue to humiliate me before my court, my friends, everyone. My patience is at an end.
So is mine. I demand you leave my rooms at once. Go and sleep off your drunken stupor.
So you insult me to my face, you greedy Muscovite peasant. And take this, you. Stop, will you? I'll teach you to them. I'm glad to see your majesty looking so well today.
Thank you, Count Stephen. I'm completely recovered from my long illness.
His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince Alexander, seems to share your wonderful powers of recuperation. He's all over his indisposition and is the very picture of health.
Come, come now, Stephen. Let's stop all this trivial talk about my health or that of my son. There's something far more serious than that on your mind, loyal friend. I can see it in your eyes.
I suppose it is foolish on my part to try to hide anything from you.
Come now, Stephen, confess. What is it now? His Majesty the King, I suppose.
It is, Your Majesty, and this time it is serious, very serious.
Tell me the worst, Stephen. I'm prepared for anything. I have to be, being married to his mad Majesty Milan.
You know of his mad infatuation for Madame Artemisia Kristich?
Yes, the wife of the Minister of State. That has been going on for some time.
The situation has developed into one of the deepest gravity. When the Archbishop refused his Majesty's petition for a divorce from you...
A move instigated by Madame Kristich. Go on, I understand.
His Majesty threatened to commit suicide. He actually made the attempt. This upset the Archbishop, who finally weakened in his attitude toward his Majesty and has agreed to allow His Majesty to issue a state order...
Instructing me to leave the kingdom.
Exactly, Your Majesty. When the scandal and unrest has died down and the incident forgotten, the king will persuade the church authorities to issue a legal separation.
Very cleverly and skillfully arranged. But what of my son, the Crown Prince?
He will remain here in the custody of his father.
They may issue all the court orders they please. They may banish me from the kingdom, separate me from that madman I married. But they will not separate me from my son. I will die fighting for
him. I admire your courage, Your Majesty, but I am afraid you cannot.
I'll show them. Now listen to me, Count Stephen. Go at once and find the Crown Prince. Tell his nurse and governess to wrap him up warmly. Then hide him until a carriage is prepared. Let me know when it is ready and we will flee the country. Go now, obey me.
At once, Your Majesty, and God be with you.
Thank you. It is too late, Your Majesty. The king's men have overtaken us.
Halt the carriage, then, but give me your revolver, Count Stephen.
Halt the carriage at once, coachman. Look, Your Majesty. A crowd is beginning to gather in the street. It is good. The peasants and workers are loyal to you.
In the name of His Imperial Majesty, King Milan, I command you to hand over into my custody His Royal Highness the Crown Prince Alexander.
I refuse. And I warn you that I am armed and will shoot to kill the first man who dares to approach this carriage to lay hands upon my son.
Queen Natalie, I am the deputy of workers and peasants' party, your loyal and devoted servant. It has been rumored that our worthless king, your faithless husband, was attempting to banish you from the kingdom. We hope this madness to be averted. But no, we see for ourselves the king did not listen to reason.
Stand back, you rebels, and order your followers to go away, that we may fulfill the king's order.
We will not retreat an inch. I call upon you, my fellow workers, to show our loyalty to our beloved queen. Good, good. Then fall in with me and form a protective guard for Her Most Gracious Majesty's carriage.
Yes.
Now, with Your Majesty's permission, we will escort you in triumph back to your summer house in the palace grounds. And there we will stand guard to the death, or until justice is done.
Justice! Justice!
Thank you, my loyal subjects, for this gallant display of your loyalty to me. To you, Captain of His Majesty's Guards, I say, fall back and make no attempt to resist the will of my people. There must be no bloodshed.
I bow to your imperial wishes, Your Majesty. My men will form an escort.
Thank you. Now proceed, good people.
But Queen Natalie's triumph was short-lived. A few weeks later, she was seized in the dead of night and forcibly smuggled over to the border in Hungary, where armed guards were posted to prevent her return. Later, King Milan was forced to abdicate, and the son Alexander became king. Like his father, he was a weak king, and Natalie tried to strengthen his rule by a marriage to one of her young confidants. The unfortunate couple were murdered in their bed. Queen Natalie then returned to Paris and entered the convent of Notre Dame de Sion as a lay sister whose principal duties it was to beg alms from door to door and make clothes for the poor. From a life of bloodshed, revolution, and intrigue, she turned to a simple life of piety and charity, dying at the grand old age of 82. You have just heard the front page drama, The Queen is Dead, a dramatization of a feature story entitled The Passing of Natalie, Most Tragic Queen. This very dramatic and interesting feature will be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.